You are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
It's behind it. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
Week three in the books. It was a rain-filled weekend. I'm just going to leave it at that. Q, Smitty, how's it going, fellas?
It's good. Another winning week. I'll take it. Saturday wasn't, but Friday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday was good. Saturday wasn't good. Yesterday wasn't good. And I hate bullpens.
Well, we did an impressive Friday. This may just need to be a Friday show.
Yeah.
39, 14, and 5 now, with all 5 being voided this Friday, moving our best bets recap from the show to impressive 39 wins, 14 losses. I don't know what that percentage is off the top of my head, but it's pretty damn good. I'll put it to you that way. We know what we're doing here. Alabama, Florida, no surprise there. LSU. I was lucky to get the win with Iowa. It looked like once again they were going to blow a late game after Brody Brecht had like 10 strikeouts against Ole Miss. Northern Kentucky, that was a no-doubter. Missouri, we talked about it. Never should have been laying minus 410 against anybody. I don't care if it's my six-year-old's T-ball team. Northern Kentucky actually wins outright. TCU, A&M, Moneyline Parlay got home. The only loser on my board was Oregon, just completely let me down. Smitty, I'll let you recap yours.
Yeah, you went with the Gators all weekend. So, you know, that was a good one. TCU and Texas A&M. Again, Texas A&M is a machine right now. I was with you with the Oregon game. You know, the Gauchos kind of showed up over the weekend here a little bit. Lost that one. And Oklahoma, Pitt, I got to stop going against Pitt. I think the legend of Rob Garvey, man. I text him. He got a good laugh out of that on Friday. But Pitt really showed up. Got me Friday. Got me again yesterday. So guess what? Stop betting against Pitt, man. They're playing great. So that's the way it was.
Q?
Yeah, Arizona State, Texas A&M. They got me Friday. They ran it back Sunday, and they hit that over. Texas A&M hit that over by themselves on Sunday and sitting there thinking, well, why couldn't it have been Friday? But nonetheless, solid weekend. The Auburn, mind the UCF Auburn, UCF did cover their portion, so it was a small win, pretty much money back plus a couple dollars. But yeah, Auburn was canceled. So
of the – just something to monitor, the projections that I've been running over here, we are at – 14-5-1 now over the last 3 days of, and I feel like it's going to continue to get more accurate the more data we get, but doing pretty well at predicting the straight up winner. It was a little off on the exact run scored, so I can just tell you, don't use it to try to handicap totals. As you can see, it's never over with the metal bat, which brings us into the updated rankings after week three. No change really. I feel like D1 just kind of let's just stay on autopilot for most of the year. The only big news, Indiana dropped out, and congratulations, UC Irvine off to a 9-0 start. They jumped.
Texas dropped. Texas dropped a bit.
Didn't really drop out, but I've started to highlight them. If their odds, which is kind of confusing, if their odds got better, they are red. If they got worse, they're green. As far as something to monitor throughout the season, I'm excited about this because we haven't ever done it to where you can actually see what week you got the best number on what team. The one that jumped off the page to me was East Carolina dropping despite losing or sitting at 7-4. This team struggles on offense, and they've got a great pitching rotation with Zach Root and Trey Savage, but the team, kind of like Arkansas, you can't rely on pitching if you don't have the bats to build up a lead. So, does anything else stick out to you? Vanderbilt obviously dropped a little bit, so now may be a good time to jump in on Vandy. And then A&M dropped, just kind of got better at plus 1600 now. That there may not be a hotter team in college baseball right now than Texas A&M.
Yeah, just to touch on East Carolina, bad middle relief too is something that they've kind of been victim to in their four losses. Great starting, just can't really get those middle to late innings going. Texas A&M, grab them now. I think they're only going to get shorter odds. I mean, I know it's early in the season. We're coming into conference play. Anything can happen. You know, we're waiting for some arm injuries across college, you know, in general to happen. We've been fortunate enough to have them, but they're not even sweating games right now. And they've played, you know, a couple quality opponents this weekend, teams that I thought maybe could score a little more and then couldn't, Arizona State being one of them. You compare the two, I guess the hottest teams right now are Texas A&M and TCU, and TCU struggled. I mean, Peyton Tolley, Cole Klecker, and Zach Morris, like they've had their fair share of issues to start. Obviously, things can get better, but TCU's been very lucky in a lot of games. I think they lead the stat of under 20% win probability wins at any point in the game. They're leading the country in, and they probably should have two or three losses by now. But then A&M's just not having those, so A&M, grab them. Vanderbilt, did they play just to the big weekend? Like, I'm still curious about them. I think Koziel is a power bat for them, but, you know, I think I need to see a couple more weekends of this hitting versus 1 week where a team just got hot. I don't think I'm ready to say they're better yet.
Smitty, anything jump out to you now that your Indiana Hoosiers are out of the top 25 right after you buy a shirt?
I know. I'm going to send the shirt back. I want my money back.
Smitty curse.
I want my money back. Send it back. No, you know, I think Oregon State's a team. You know, I know they're sitting there at six. They're 11-1, and their one loss was against Arkansas, and that was a really good game. You know, we said Coastal Carolina, they're really starting to hit the ball, and that's what we kind of predicted was going to happen. I think their offense is good. Texas Tech's offense is. I know some of the matchups they played were maybe not powerhouse teams, but, man, they score some runs. Up, I mean, really like that team. And again, Dallas Baptist, we said that on Friday. It's a program that's always there. Good weekend. I think that's a team that's coming up. And the Gauchos, you know, the record doesn't look good, but maybe they got things right and they can go on a little bit of run.
All right, which brings us to our three up, three down. That is not the graphic.
Why don't we hear your thoughts? Let's hear your thoughts.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk and do this at the same time. But I think, I mean, obviously no change at the top, really. Florida kind of surprises me going to 11-1. That may be the best number you get them until they drop a series in the SEC. They looked really impressive against Miami. I feel like they have righted the ship. TCU continues to get it done in these heartbreaking losses for their opponents, but this team's magical, sitting at 12-0. Their odds have not changed, and I feel like a lot of that is just to play into, you know, nobody really knows yet what this TCU team is. They obviously have flaws, or they wouldn't be getting down in these games to have to come back. Outside of that, I mean, I'm with y'all on A&M, and you look at the board overall, there's not really a team. Alabama, maybe you could make the case for that, jumps into that top 10 before the end of the season if they continue to do what they're doing with the bats and then their pitching rotation. But, overall, I don't see a number on the board that I think you should just dive into. I feel like you've missed your mark on Dallas Baptist now that those odds have been slashed in half. And then, you know, your favorites, again, they're probably going to drop a series throughout the regular season. And at that point, if you want to jump into them and, you know, try to get a couple cents more, do it then. But now that I have the correct graphic up, as I stumbled through that, thanks, guys. Three up, three down. So we had been giving you three and three. A lot of times we're the same on several of them. But my up, I've got to give credit where credit's due. Vanderbilt continued to roll. They beat Texas after being down 11-3, had a 0.02 win probability in that one. Still figured out a way to win and cover the 1.5 run line, thus beating me because I had Texas plus 1.5. Thought it was money. They beat Louisiana 7-4 and then Houston 3-1. Still questionable on offense, but like I said, got to give credit where credit's due. I'll let you go, Q, with your up.
Yeah, I think you could give this up to a bunch of teams like we talked about, but I think for me it's LSU. I think Jay Johnson made the right decision in making Luke Holman the Friday night guy. And then Saturday, Gage jumped through, which was kind of different to see. I thought maybe him and Thatcher would flip, but Gage Jump gets the Saturday job and did not disappoint by any means against, you know, quality competition. And then Thatcher coming in Sunday, you know, he seemed pretty comfortable in that Sunday role. Maybe he's, you know, he's still young. I believe he's only a junior last year, I think, or maybe he's a sophomore. He's still kind of settling into LSU, I think. He had a breakout game in the College World Series, and maybe that put some pressure on him that he just wasn't ready for to start the season. So I think Jay Johnson made some great moves. LSU dominated Texas and frankly dominated the tournament. So I had to give him up just because I was the first to say I thought they were going to be a little slack to start the year coming off championship. And they turned it on here in Minute Maid. It was awesome to see.
Smitty.
Yeah, Texas A&M, you know, we've already talked about it. I think the one thing with this team is they're beating everyone and they're beating them well, where some of these teams that are a really good team, they've maybe dropped the game and it's been close in a game that with competition that you're like, why is that game that close? They've really taken care of business. So that's up for me. And this Big Ten, I mean, Indiana, what happened? Buy the T-shirt, then you fall apart. Iowa continues to just be a team that's just, I think a lot of people were really high on them. And I think I was one of them with the pitching staff. The bullpen hasn't been great. We talk about sometimes how they can't score runs. So Indiana, Iowa, the two teams that were supposed to be really good, struggled, you know, and just who else in that conference is really that great? Go Penn State. Let's keep going Penn State on that. But the Pac-12, it was close, everyone, but Big Ten. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm down on you this week. Very disappointed. Bad weekend.
Before we get to the Longhorns, to touch on Texas A&M, this team is still ranked. They're fifth in hitting with a 151 WRC plus and second in pitching with a 216 Sierra. So you talk about a very well-balanced team. Jim Schlossnagel is doing a great job with them. And quite frankly, I mean, they're as good of a threat to win the SEC at this point than anybody else. I mean, they've got better bats than Arkansas. Florida's pitching has looked a little shaky, but at the end of the day, I think the SEC gauntlet may get to them, but that's definitely a team to keep an eye on. All right, Q, the Longhorns, let's have it.
Fraudulent. What
do I say?
Fraudulent. I mean, well, I'll just sum it up. They're fraudulent. I mean, I kind of said they're iffy coming into the season, especially losing Luke Storm for, you know, personal reasons. He definitely would have helped the team. I mean, they can hit. I think a little better than maybe last year's team, but good Lord. I mean, they're throwing out us three in the middle relief and blowing leads. It's crazy. You're not going to be able to do that against TCU, Texas Tech, like coming into some big boy play, you know, even UCF coming in the Big 12, look at what they've been doing. Like if you can't even handle these tournaments and these small series, once you get in the conference play, like it could get ugly. And I think Texas is just in for a long season here. And I think it's time maybe, you know, Dave Pierce, you got to really question if he's the guy there.
So mine, I kind of touched on ECU a little bit, and for what it's worth, LeBaron Johnson Jr., he did pitch pretty well in that opening game against LSU. Just kind of like you said, they didn't have any relievers that could get it done. But okay, East Carolina, this is a team that is going to continue to struggle and lose games after their pitchers pitch phenomenally well. They lose a midweek to Old Dominion. You lose to Southeast Louisiana. These are games that you can't lose. I mean, if you're going to be the number one mid-major team moving forward, you have to win, and you have to win a lot of games to get that RPI up. So East Carolina, you've got to do better. You've got to give you Savage and Root some run support. I mean, that's at the end of the day, to make it as a mid-major, it's like you look at Coastal Carolina and they've got the bats, but can their pitchers wake up? It's the opposite for East Carolina. And at this point, I don't have any faith in any of the mid-majors. I mean, we saw Dallas Baptist come back and win against Alabama. That was impressive. They may be the only team that I give a legitimate shot to make a deep run into Omaha. Do you have any arguments to that, Q?
I mean, I think Coastal's actually pitched better than maybe all of us perceive. But, no, I think generally I agree with you. But I do think Coastal's pitching is a little better than maybe people give them credit for. I would say Dallas Baptist and Coastal.
And the bats have really woken up. I mean, I think they're really hitting the ball well. And
they can hit with anybody in the country.
I think their pitching has been a little bit better.
Dallas Baptist ranks 20th in team pitching, 10th in team pitching, 20th in team hitting. So they're a pretty balanced team too.
Yeah, they're a wagon for sure.
All right. So going back to the top 25, I'm disappointed we don't have any comments coming in. I know you guys have some questions. Maybe you can holler at us next time we'll do this and give you some notice to send in your questions. But just anything else you saw over week three that you want to touch on before you wrap it up?
No, I mean, we know a lot about some teams coming in the next weekend, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we've got a pretty loaded slate next weekend. We're going to try to do 10 previews for everybody and go a little bit more in depth in the Thursday or Friday show, depending on when we do it. But if that is all, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you later on this week.